Welcome. It's nice to be back. I've been AOL for a little while. Nothing wrong, but just been staying home with my wife, listening to the message. It's been wonderful. I'd like to start with the reading. The first reading is in Psalm 24, 24, 7 to 10. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. Amen. Amen. Isaiah 6:3. This is from Isaiah's commission. The seraphims are shouting, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." Amen? Amen. Thank you. Good morning again, and glory to God in the highest. Glory be to God. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you right now. Thank you for being glory. Thank you for being in our midst right here. Thank you for being an all-knowing God of knowing everything. Lord, I just commit my time to you here. I commit to the people, the church here that is here, the people that are viewing, Father God, that Holy Spirit, that you would open up our hearts. You would show us the truth. You would reveal to us where we are in regards to the glory of God and what we should be doing, how we should be doing it. Father, I think of Jill right now. What wonderful news that she was able to come home, hopefully today. But our prayers are that she will come home in your hands, safely in your hands, Father God. That continued prayers that you would continue blessing, that you would touch her, that you would heal her body. Lord, that you would give Ken the strength for compassion and love and mercy and grace. I lift up the Coots family right now, Lord, to you, that you would just watch them. You would bless them. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The glory of God. What is the glory of God? I'm saying before you, a humble man, that I could read about the glory of God, but I don't know what the glory of God is in description wise. But Phil, if you could put that picture up, we have a picture that when we read the scripture, we kind of have an idea of this cloud or this bright light that happens. In old paintings, pictures, they depict the light of this bright, luminous, brilliant light. And I didn't have any old pictures, but I did see, I was listening to a sermon from Reverend Zachariah, and he had a picture similar to this that an astronaut took. And I thought it was maybe a slim resemblance of what the glory of God might look like, that it would be illuminating. And if you think about the earth right here, that is glory. That's the glory of God right there, right? Amen. The earth, his creation, is the glory of God. Several months back, I was having a conversation with a friend. That friend called me because my son Jacob had his first child. Sorry about that. If you could put that other picture up. This is Carter Jacob. You saw the glory of God around the earth. This is the glory of God. You are the glory of God. Isn't he just adorable? I don't know, maybe because of his grandpa. Maybe his grandma, I'm sorry. Maybe his grandma. Anyway, I go on. We were discussing the upheaval that's going on in society right now, this friend and I. As I'm sure a lot of you guys have been discussing this amongst family and friends. This person was excited. In their voice was an excitement that they said they are excited about this time because they are excited about the work that God is going to do in this time. And they were even more excited with what God was going to do in them. And the excitement rung in here. And I just said, wow, really? Because if I tell you the truth, I'm not excited about it. Now, I fully understand that this did not come to a surprise to Lord that this is happening, right? We've heard numerous sermons after this. I think we all believe that this is not a surprise to God. We all believe that God is going to do a work in here. But are you excited about what God is going to do? Are you excited about the glory of God and what he is going to do in this time, in this age that we're living, in society that we're in? And then, let's make it more personal. Are you excited, or are you ready for the glory of God to work in you through what is happening today? As I stand up here, a lot of times you know that I like for you to walk away from my sermon, any sermon, with a question. And because I know that a lot of some of you, maybe you don't want to or believe in it, I throw the question out there. What are you going to do with the glory of God in this time? I would like you to go home today and ask God, am I supposed to be doing something, Lord? Do you want me to reveal you to somebody, to something? I'm chewing on this with God. The excitement. Am I excited? Am I ready for what God is going to do in my life? And by seeing the glory of God at work, one day God says to me, his spirit says to my spirit, heaven and earth are full of my glory. Heaven and earth are full of my glory, he says to me. I know that. I believe that, Lord. I believe that. So here I am talking about glory that I know nothing about, really, other than what Scripture tells me. And you would probably sit there and say, well, Chris, if you believe the Scriptures, then you know everything you need to know. But there's still just a little bit more. And I got stuck on the word glory. Glory. What is glory? The word glory. It has so many meanings. Glory is one of those words that it's hard to describe. You know what? I'm going to tell you this is really a lame, but as I was going through this, I thought I could come up with my own description. And I'm not an English major. I'm not a wordsmith. I'm not much in regard to words, but this was all I could come up with. The best I could. His holiness exalted to the highest. That's what glory is. For me, that's what I come up with, but I have some better things than that. Trust me. But glory days, I'm not talking about the glory days that I had and Scott had. And if anyone else was an athlete or if you think you had a glory day, it's not the kind of glory days I'm thinking about that I was all that in a cup of tea on a basketball court. I look at myself at 58 years old and I thought that I could play basketball and I thought I was really good. But if I looked at my life, I would have had to have played in the NBA against Michael Jordan and Larry Bird and the likes. The glory days for me, maybe for Scott, I'm going to speak for him too. The glory days was that we had the youth, that we could actually run up and down a basketball court. Scott is still trying to chase that youth. He's still playing hockey, so hallelujah to that, though. I'm not talking about those glory days, right? I'm not talking about that glory. John Piper said this very thing about glory, that it is hard to describe. He went on to say that especially when it pertains to God, it is hard to explain. It is hard to describe. But he also said that he can't do it, but he's willing to try because he can't see it be left alone. And not that John Piper is all that, but he said that we got to put something to it, a substance to it. I'm going to use John's analogy and description. I don't know much about John Piper, that he used basketball as a description, and it's a sport I love. So he said, trying to describe glory, but he says, you could describe things and you could describe a basketball that it's 9 or 10 inches around, that it's usually leather or rubber, that it was usually brown or an orange color. If you lived in 1976 or the era, you might have had a red, white, and blue one, but still the same. And it had 8 rings around it. And that if you inflated it with air, you could bounce it on the ground, the floor, and you could shoot it in a basket, hence basketball. John said, if I took that basketball, because I described it to you, and I set it on a table, and I put 4 or 5 other balls next to it, you would be able to see and pick out what a basketball is. He said, glory is not like that. Glory is not that easy to describe. Glory is like the word beauty. When I say beauty, the first thing that came to your mind is, was it an animal? Was it a tree? Was it the saying that beauty is in the eye of the beholder? Because that's what it is, right? That's how it's why it's hard to describe, because what you see is beauty in the water, the trees, the river. Creation that God made is glory. You see beauty in that, and you should. And someone else might see beauty in the animals that he created, the deer. Kevin Tucker talks a lot about in his backyard, he gets deer a lot. They're beautiful to look at, but sometimes they kind of destroy your foliage. But they are beauty. Some people might not see them as beauty, but they're part of God's creation. It's glory, and it is beauty. I find beauty in a tree sitting out in a farmer's land that's been cut down by the farmer or somebody, and it has no branches on it, and it has no trees on it. It has three or four trunks coming out of it, maybe with a couple of branches, just barren, sitting out there in the farmland. And I know some of you are going, really? Seriously? Just a couple of pieces of wood sticking up in the air, you find beauty? That's what it is. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. In fact, I take pictures of them because my sister and I liked it. So we take pictures of it. That's beauty. It's in the eye of the beholder. What is glory, though? What is glory? Exodus 16:10 says this. They looked into the wilderness, and behold, the glory of God appeared in a cloud. Exodus 40:34 says this. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. The glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. 2 Chronicles 5:13-14 says this. In praise to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. The house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. Here in Ezekiel chapter 1, 28 says this. Like the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud on the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness all around. Do we still have that picture up? No. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. Can you put that up there for me, Beth or Phil? Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face and heard the voice of one speaking. That's all we could picture. How do I describe that to you? You got to go to the Lord with that. This is what may have happened. This cloud, this brilliant light, pure light, encompassed these people, covered the building, the room. It seems that the glory of the Lord, his invisible, made visible, if you will, is so overwhelming. Could you possibly think about that and really describe that as a human? Do you think that you could understand how a cloud, a bright light, would just literally stop you in your tracks? You wouldn't be able to move. The glory of God is so glorious that it would stop you in your tracks and what you're doing. Do you remember Exodus 33 and Moses' request? Moses asked God what? Anyone remember? He says, may I see your glory, or please show me your glory. Please show me your glory. I want to have a little side note here because I'm a big man on prayer. We should be praying all the time for everybody. And I'll say that I try. I don't always do it, but I try. But you think of Moses right here. This wasn't a prayer, but it was a request. And when you sit down on your knees or when you lay in your bed at night, a prayer is a request. You think about Moses here. This is a bold, audacious request. Do you think that you would ask God that? Would you ask God, say, hey, would you show me your glory, by the way? I know we got all these other things. You want me to go over here, and as long as you're following me, Lord, yeah, that's good. But, oh, yeah, by the way, would you show me your glory? Now, when I think of that, the first thing I thought of really was that would maybe one of those questions when you're sitting around with your friends and you're saying, well, when I get to heaven, I'll ask God. You know what I'm talking about? It's always one of those. That might be one of those questions for me to say, all right, Lord, well, and when we get to heaven, it will be glory. We probably won't have to ask about it, but it wouldn't be a question that I think I would ask in the midst of God. I've been on a mountaintop with God. Moses was sitting on a mount there, literally, right? But not one time did it ever enter my mind to say, hey, Lord, show me your glory while we're at it here. I'm sitting at the mountaintop. I'm really with you. You know me and I know you. And could you please show me this? My point of this is that God wants bold, audacious requests from us. God is not intimidated by what we ask him. He's not intimidated. He understands where you're at that point. He understands where you're going. God wants bold, audacious requests, prayers from us. End of side note. Thank you. I'm going to read in Exodus 33, starting at 18. Then Moses said, now show me your glory. And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. Then the Lord said, there is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock. Think about that. The glory was so powerful. This is what I took. God's glory was so powerful that he had to put him up against a rock. He had to brace him because God's glory was going to pass by and probably make him fall to his face, stop whatever he was doing. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen. How do you describe that? You don't describe it in human terms. You read about it. You ask God about it. Hopefully he will experience, let you experience it. But God's glorious face is so, again, I'm not a wordsmith. If there's an English major in there, you could correct me later. This is what I just put because God's glorious face is so brilliantly radiant and pure, 10 times, 100 times, more than that of the sun. I don't know. I don't know how brilliant this light is. It's 10 times more brilliant than that. But I suppose if we were next to that light right there, it would probably knock us down or maybe burn us up, right? Truthfully. What is God's glory? God's glory is on Moses' face at this point, right? Do you remember when he comes down from the mount? His face is full of God's glory that everybody could see it. That's what God wants from us. That's what God's glory is. We should have a glow about us. Were we in his presence? I think I've heard many a sermons that guys would say that I was in the presence of the Lord when I was praying. I was filled with the Spirit at that time. I came to God on my knees and he showed me himself. He spoke to me. Did you go out and let the world see that? Okay. Now in maybe layman's terms, not my description, but a couple of guys And I'm going to say this first and foremost, that both of these guys that I'm going to quote here said one way or the other said this, that they humbly say that our glorious, infinite God can never be truly described by his finite creation, you and I, these two gentlemen, you and I. You and I could never truly describe the infinite, glorious God that we serve. Amen. He is so glorious. Mark Ballinger states this: God's glory is the invisible qualities, character, or attributes of God displayed in a visible or knowable way. I'll repeat that. God's glory is the invisible qualities, character, or attributes of God displayed in a visible way. John Piper's description: the glory of God is the infinite beauty and greatness of his manifold or many perfections. I'll repeat that too. The glory of God is the infinite beauty and greatness of his manifold or many perfections. These are two guys that are smarter than I am that try to describe, and maybe in our finite thinking, this really is what the glory of God is. But it's even more than that, right? It is much, much, much more than that. And it's something that the glory of God is something that we should all experience, especially if you are standing here, sitting here as believers. In Genesis 1 and 2, it speaks about all creation, which is what? All of creation is what? God's glory. That is his glory. So if I said, what is God's glory? You could say all of God's creation. That would be right, partly right. Everything created from the heavens to the earth reflect his glory. Here's another question for you, then. You could take this home. Do you, because you are a creation, part of creation, right? Do you reflect God's glory? Don't answer that now. For me, it was pretty sobering. Do I reflect God's glory? Through his creation, every human, even wicked, will know God. Even those who have never heard of the Bible or heard the preacher speak, that comes from Romans 1:18-20. Everyone will know who God is. Romans 14:11 writes this: as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me and every tongue will acknowledge God, it says here, will confess. As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me and every tongue will acknowledge God. That's the glory of God. The glory of God is that he will be revealed to everyone someday. As part of God's glorious creation, you and I, we were made. This is one of those oxymoron, doxology things, that we're a creation, so we are glory, and we should reflect it, but we were made for his glory. That is why we were made. Isaiah 43:7 tells us exactly that. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. I formed and made you for my glory. We are truly made to give glory to God. Praise him who is praiseworthy. Amen? Amen. But then there was a breakdown, right? The fall happened. Sin entered the world. I know a while ago I was speaking a little bit on the Garden of Eden, what happened there, but my mind, as I was going through this, I couldn't imagine what it was like in the Garden of Eden when you were walking and talking. But they were walking and talking. And maybe, I'm just going to say, maybe there was a possibility of a slight sliver of a chance that we could have been there if the fall hadn't happened. We would have been literally in the midst of the glory of God, walking and talking in the garden. Wow. How wonderful would that have been as opposed to sitting in what we're sitting in now? The glory of God, all of his creation, it was perfect. At one time, it was perfect. And there is a slight chance that we could have been there. Because of the fall, Romans 3:20 says this, right? Explains that we've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all fallen short of the glory of God because of sin. But, alas, there's a hidden treasure, isn't there? Colossians 1:26-27 tells us, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to who? His saints, to us. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of his mystery. Which is what? Christ in you. Christ in you is that mystery, which is what? Our hope of glory. Amen. We have Christ in us. We have glory in us. What is glory? Glory is Christ. Hallelujah for that. Our Redeemer. Glory lives in us. Would you agree that God's timing is perfect? Come on, church. I got one. God's timing is perfect. It always is. We know that. And what's happening right now? Again, it's not a surprise, right? But God did a glorious thing, didn't he? In John 3:16. What did he do? He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen? We get to see, feel, hear the Redeemer. We get to have redemption. Hallelujah. Because of God's glorious child. That is glory. God's glory is his Son, given to us on this earth. God's glory is living in us right now. And I'm going to jump here, but, and after paying the price on the cross for our sins, Jesus ascended to heaven and fulfilled his promise to send us a glorious and powerful helper. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit now lives within you. And is that glory or not glory? That is the glory of God. The Holy Spirit is living within you right now. The glory, that's the glory of God. Now the Holy Spirit of old came and went as God ordained. He didn't have this permanent dwelling on earth or in anybody. But now he's available to whoever accepts him as Jesus, the Savior of the world, of your life, to redeem you, to pay the price for your sins. You now get to have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. The Holy Spirit now is going to set up a permanent dwelling spot in your heart, in our heart, in my heart. What is the Holy Spirit? It's the light. That is the light that's living within us. The glory within us. Amen? What are we supposed to do with that light? Supposed to put it under cover? Supposed to put it on a table, put a bowl over it, hide it, put it in the closet? I thought of three people in my life. Fortunately, it was in this church. I thought of three people that shone the light of the Holy Spirit, of Jesus, of God, that showed the glory of God. I cried six times as I did this. I don't know why. I thought the crying was over. The first person I thought of was Earl Ensign. Earl had a smile for you and a word for you and a hug for you. He would encourage you. I was at the hospital once with Earl, and you know that the aide or the nurse, whoever it was, you know who was doing the encouraging in that room? Earl Ensign was doing the encouraging in that room. The light was shining in his life. The glory of God was shining on someone else that day. And I'm sure you guys have experienced it. The other person was Terry Priestap. Terry had a smile on his face, and he was sharing Jesus all the time, whenever he could. He wanted to encourage you in the way to go. In the glory of God, that was what Terry wanted to do. The other person... Sorry. I'm emotional because I look at these three guys and I think, where am I? How am I showing the glory of God? You don't have to be a preacher standing up here to do it. The other person I think of is Don Bickford. I didn't know Don Bickford when he was younger. I didn't know if he was a preacher. I didn't know if he was a teacher. I knew Don Bickford that sat back there, that sat at that door, and that gave you a hug and a smile every single time you came through that door. That's showing the glory of God. He exuded Jesus. He exuded the Holy Spirit. What is the glory of God? It's the little lights that's shining. I really think in my head, in my finite thinking, I'm thinking that the light that is in me should be shining like this. And I'm gonna just say, like Earl, like Terry, like Don. That's the glory of God. When you are sharing Jesus with whomever you can, when you can. What are we supposed to do with that light? Matthew 5:16 tells us, let your light shine before others, and that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. That's what we're supposed to do with that light. The Holy Spirit is supposed to come out. Jesus is supposed to come out. God in all his glory is supposed to come out of each and every one of us. The goodness of God is supposed to come out of us. And we're supposed to be sharing that goodness, the glory of God. Now we come full circle, if you will. As part of creation, you and I, we were glory in the fact that we were creation. We were made for that glory. We were redeemed by that glory. And now we're supposed to give back that glory. Did you follow me? That we are created for the glory. We were redeemed by glory, Jesus Christ. And now we're supposed to give that glory back to him and share it with others. That's the glory of God. In a simple form, as a simple man standing before you, that's the glory of God. We must remember what Paul writes in Romans 8:18. Because we are here on this earth and stuff happens. Romans 8:18 says this, for I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy comparing to what? To the glory that is to be revealed to us. What we're going through on this earth right now is not to be compared to the glory that is going to be revealed to us. Band, if you want to come up right now. I do have one more verse I want to share, but just want to remember as they come up that the suffering that you're having right now, that whatever you're going through, you have a Redeemer. You have someone that you can ask a bold, audacious request, and he will guide you. He will direct you. He will help you. Will he help you in that moment? Hopefully, maybe. Will it be a time from then? Maybe. But we know that we understand that God has never what? Left us nor forsaken us. Once you know Jesus, he knows you forever and ever and ever. As far as the east is from the west, he knows you. It's not stopping. Paul sums up in 2 Corinthians 2:14 about glory, that we go from glory to glory. We go from, what is God's glory? We get to go from glory, being God's creation and made for his glory. We get to be redeemed and sanctified while we're on this earth. And then we get to go to our inheritance, heaven, which is glory. Amen? We get to go from glory to glory. What is God's glory? We are God's glory. Christ in us is God's glory. God's glory should be shown to everyone. So my parting words here. So go out into the world and let glory, God's glory, shine.